kindness is the greatest virtue of all. But accepting every favor and request for help will tire us out very quickly. How good are you with saying no? I'm Angie Park, and I'll be right back after this song. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of K-Pop Connection. It's Tuesday, October 19th, 2021. That was Jessie, cold-blooded. I don't know. She sings about being cold-blooded, but I feel like she would be very helpful and accommodating should people ask her for a favor or request, no? Anyway, we're talking about being a yes man or a woman versus a no man or a no woman. Nobody likes a no man, but I don't think it's always good to be a yes man either. You may have a lot of people around you, but I think it's a very self-destructive thing, not to mention exhausting, to say yes to everyone's requests. And as I was talking in our opening about this topic, if any of our listeners were thinking, "Ooh, that sounds like me," okay, well then, now we know this may be an area that we may want to change or tweak a little bit, right? They say those who usually have a hard time saying no subconsciously feel that they may appear too cold-blooded, mean, non-humanistic, right? They take in a lot of stuff because they don't want to hurt others unintentionally. So they work overtime to try to prevent that. In a way, it comes from the habit of putting others first. But you know that means you're never fully respecting your own needs, right? So what is it for you guys? How are you with saying no? For me, I would like to think I maintain a pretty healthy balance. I try to accommodate as best as I can, but I do work in a slight give and take manner. If it's somebody that never gives and I'm the only one giving, then I feel much more justified in saying no. But if this person is always trying to, you know, work things out for me, then I'm going to do my best to work things out for them. But if it's detrimental to me, then I think I'm pretty comfortable with saying no. All in all, though, this is much easier said than done. And of course, there are the exceptions as well. Maybe you have no problem saying no, except to one person, right? But I think saying no, it is integral, so much so that if you consider yourself pretty bad at rejecting people or rejecting things, maybe it might be best for you and the people around you to start practicing this skill, because the people around you need to practice getting declined as well. If you always said yes, and the first time you say no to them, it will be a little bit of a shocker for them. So maybe practicing on their part as well is important. Let's start this practice together by starting with this song. Here is 장기하와 얼굴들, Kia and the Faces with 거절할 거야. I'll say no. That was 장기하와 얼굴들, Kia and the Faces with 거절할 거야. I'll say no. All right, you guys, you're tuned into K-Pop Connection on KBS World Radio. Let's talk about our show, shall we? We air Monday through Fridays, 8 to 9 p.m. Korea Standard Time. That's 1100 to 1200 hours UTC. We air via shortwave radio, 9.515 megahertz, bound for Europe, 9.630 megahertz, that's bound for India. We have apps like the KBS World Radio app, KBS World Radio On Air app, KBS Kong app, and you can stream us from our site as well. That's an option. You can find that at world.kbs.co.kr. We also have a Gram account, so go ahead, get involved, leave us song requests, answer our weekly Your Two Cents question. You can do that all on our handle at KBS K-Pop. And if you tune in to us via a podcast platform, our podcast version of the show, we don't play the full version of the songs, you know, copyright stuff, technicalities, complications, but you can still join us for the fun chat. If you like that, we ask of you, please don't say no to this. If it's really detrimental to you, you can say no, but it's not, you know, it'd be nice if you help us out by giving us a rating for our show. That way more people can join in on the fun. All right, here's a song break twice, The Feels. Following that, we have Stray Kids with 소리꾼, Thunderous. 뭐야, 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 no. I know you get the feels. 뭐야, 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 no. I'm so curious, but your boy wanna keep it cool. But I know every time you move, got me frozen. Would you like coffee or tea? This is a daily segment where we have a chit-chat. Let's refuel or wind down together, talking about anything and everything that sparks a conversation. A pair of statues from a British garden initially were believed to be 18th century replicas of Egyptian artifacts. But as soon as they were suspected to be thousands of years old, they fetched $265,510 at an auction. A couple moving out of their home in England contacted the auction house to sell off these items from the home that they were vacating, and among them were a pair of Sphinx statues that had spent 15 years in the couple's garden. The couple said the statues were purchased from another auction for a few hundred dollars and were believed to be 18th century replicas of ancient Egyptian artifacts. The auctioneer at the auction house only naturally didn't question the couple's appraisal of the statue's origins and expected them to sell for, like a few hundred dollars as well. That is, until the auction started to skyrocket as prospective buyers suggested that the statues could be actual Egyptian items dating thousands of years. In the end, the statues ended up being sold for a final price of $265,510 to an international art gallery. That is a few hundred thousand Korean won or dollars, that is, jumping to 314 million Korean won. So once again, few hundred thousand Korean won, jumping to 314 million Korean won. Fortunately, the gallery owner's examinations of the statues determined that they were indeed authentic Egyptian artifacts, thousands of years old and very much genuine. Work is now being done to try to determine exactly when the items date from. How angry would you be, though, if you bought something for almost $300,000 and then they're like, oh, just kidding. These are just replicas. They were made in, like, I don't know, a factory all the way over in the south of the country. And there's millions of them out there. They're not that old. They're like from 2001. How mad would you be? I'd be so mad. Good thing they were actually authentic pieces. That is pretty cool stuff, though, to own something so old and ancient. I don't think I could afford that, though. Well, let's listen to a song. Here's Car the Garden, 가까운 듯 먼 그대여, Closely, Far Away. 저 달빛에 그려지는 그대의 미소를 간직해 내 편이 돼줘 You're my star, 내 곁에 있어줘 Star Media. Welcome everyone to our Tuesday segment, Starpedia. We talk about one particular artist in detail with Lena, and we've already set up the stage for this week from last week. First of all, let's welcome Lena. Hi, Lena.
Hello, everyone. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Like I said, we are. This is sort of like one big sesh, continuing on from last week.
Because she's such a big presence, I think, in the entertainment industry. Not only is she a talented singer, songwriter, she acts and really well.
Yeah, you keep saying that from last week.
Because there was a point when I, you know, I won't name which TV drama it was, but the air in which the press was asking these questions to mm-hmm. Lee Jae-in, the actress, it was very judgmental. And you can see just in the entertainment reporter's eyes, like, let's see how good you are. And that's just what happens when you make these transitions. I mean, off the air, we were talking about James Bond when Daniel Craig first was named 007.
People didn't like it.
They really didn't like it. It was so bad that previous Bonds had to come forward and say, kind of create like a force field around Daniel Craig and say, no, he's good. Yeah, sometimes you need a little convincing.
Oh, but can you imagine? That must be like a real strong fraternity.
Yeah.
Previous Bond.
The Bond Club?
Oh, how fun is that?
Wait, how do you part of the Bond Club? Just a fly on the wall.
Do you think they get together and like golf?
Golf?
Okay, I don't know what Bonds do. Anyway, but okay, I didn't get a chance to ask you this last week. What is your favorite IU acting project and favorite IU song?
Oh, favorite IU song is a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, that's hard.
But I'm going to go with 반편지 just because I was so blown away when I first heard it. Oh, 금요일에 만나요. I love that song.
I love that
Meet
song.
Meet You on a Friday? Is that the translation?
Yeah. I think it's just Friday is the title.
Yeah. And so that's a fun, pretty song. Acting, I no doubt, my Mr. Naya
Toshi. Oh, yeah.
It just... I don't want to spoil it for you, even though it's been around for years now.
I think I got into episode one and I didn't finish it. And then it just took too long of a break that I couldn't get, you know, started into it. But I will say, oh, she like nailed it.
Yeah.
That role from episode one.
Yeah. So it's actually, to be fair, it's kind of a slow start. Mm-hmm. So when I first watched, I thought, oh, this is not my cup of tea. It's a little dark. It's kind of gloomy. I mean, it's not about like a fabulous life. It's about a pretty dark life and trying to power through it. Uh-huh, and so it's hard at first, and then it gets real good.
Yeah, I do want to watch it again. I hear so many good things about it.
All right, what about you? What is your favorite IU song?
Friday was one of my favorites.
Yay!
But now that she's had so many since, you know, I kind of...
I should have done a tally. How many IU songs are there, including the collaborations?
I really liked Swimmer's Head as one of her more upbeat ones.
Ooh, Beep Beep.
Oh, BB is actually not one of my favorites. Swimmer's Head is up there, along with 가을 아침 is another one that's just like cup of coffee in the morning, looking out at the trees.
And you guys, that was a remake.
Yeah.
And when the original is like Yang Hyun and untouchable, you don't touch it unless it's going to be excellent.
Did you hear her remake of... Piero, I always forget the title.
Kim Wan-son's Piero는 우리를 보고 웃지?
Yes, something like that. Even Piero is watching us and laughing is a just rough translation.
Yeah.
But I thought she did such a great job changing it into her own.
Yeah, and it's because she's a singer-songwriter. She's able to produce her own songs. Anyway, this is why we decided to split IU into part one and part two over the course of 2 weeks. In fact, we left you guys on a cliffhanger.
Yes, we were picking it up from the song that shifted her into super star status.
That's right. From just a regular star to a supernova status. 좋은 날, Good Day was a big game changer. The year was 2010. The month was December. Her third EP, Real, was released. She returned with Kimi Da and composer Lee Min-soo for the song 잔소니 Nagging. So those are kind of like back-to-back successes, I think. And around this time, she kind of earned the official title 국민 여동생, or kind of the national little sister figure.
Anything with 국민 in front is a huge deal here in Korea.
Who's 국민 남동생? Is it still Lee Seung-gi?
Wasn't Yeo-jin-gu once at one point?
But isn't he kind of unofficially a little brother who sounds like an older brother?
And he's not really little anymore.
No, it was Park Bo-gum for a while.
Ah, but he too. I don't think people want him as a little brother anymore.
The thing is, IU has grown up too, so I'm not quite sure if she still holds on to the little sister status.
So.
But back then, it was an important kind of nickname for, I think, the general public to give her. That same year, she would go on to win Song of the Year Award at the Korean Music Awards, and the rest is history.
Well, listen to this song that made history and changed the game for IU. Listen for that three-note climax as well. That's the iconic part. Here's IU's 좋은 날, Good Day. That was IU's 좋은 날, good day. Ah, it does put me in a good mood.
So maybe the job is done. Mm-hmm. I think that's what the song was intended to do, right?
Yeah.
Turn around the bad day.
Exactly. And this was such a hit that IU, for the longest time, like literally albums and albums and albums, mm-hmm. went through the stereotype where she thought all her songs needed to be three syllables. So after that was 너랑 나.
Oh, you and me.
분홍신.
You're right. The red shoes.
It's just like literally so many songs after that. It's not popping to my head now.
Wait, is that really what that was?
Yeah, she said that there was a stereotype or a superstition.
Yeah.
That they needed to keep it three syllables.
Oh, God.
Summer's head.
Oh, my God. It went on for a while.
It went on for a while.
I'm going to go back to Pampyeonji.
All right.
So you know that her singing career really took off from 좋은 날, good day. Her acting career had kind of a slow start, just like her music career. Dream High. I mean, it had all the right, I think, talent. Mm-hmm. Suji, Park Jin-young himself, 2PM's Woo Young and Taegyeon. They even had Kim Soo-yeon, the young Kim Soo-yeon.
All big names now in the acting realm.
And the thing is, to be fair, it was like Korea's High School Musical. It was supposed to be more fun and easy to watch. Nothing that's required that's crazy difficult as in terms of acting. However, everyone was ready to kind of tear this apart. So was High School Musical. I think anything that's a little bit teeny bopper, it does kind of get that little not real acting
sort of disdain a little bit.
But the soundtrack Someday, which she sang for Dream High, achieved number one position on the charts. The single had sold, get this, 2.2 million digital copies.
Wow.
Who sells songs online?
That's IU for ya.
That's right. In case you missed it, she played this shy, overweight school student. Of course, she goes through that whole makeover transition to become a professional singer, looking a little bit more like IU and less like her character, Kim Pil-suk. She wears this ridiculous fat suit.
Okay.
She doesn't look attractive, and that's the point. Uh-huh. And I mean, brava for being courageous and trying something that's a little bit of Kim Ah-jung's Ellie.
Right.
But again, it wasn't one of her, I think, breakout acting roles. I think she would have to wait until maybe the period drama that she took part in for her acting career to really, really take off.
The one with Lee Jun-gi?
Yeah, and that had like 15 ridiculously high-profile stars.
So many people love that drama.
All right. At this point, though, wouldn't you agree that IU is one of the biggest, if not the biggest solo artists
in
all of Korea?
Yeah, and this comes at a time where, like you said earlier, it was all groups. You know, not many people even ventured to be solo.
Because when something is trending in K-pop, I think that's just a rule of thumb in pop culture, whether it be TV drama, reality shows, or even music. If something is trending, we tend to kind of follow the leader, go that way.
We see some people who originally were in groups and start a solo career.
You're right.
But nobody who will be like, hi, I'm solo from the start, you know?
Yeah, it's a little bit more tough to break into the market and make it mainstream, again, against really competitive idol groups. All right, going back to what Andrew was saying earlier about IU having a thing with naming all her songs in three syllables.
Yeah.
You and I, 너랑 나.
Yes.
It would go on to win number one on Music Bank for six consecutive weeks. It was a massive hit. Mm-hmm. There was 복숭아.
Yes.
Okay, I'm seeing a trend there.
I liked that one too, actually.
That one was celebrated for, I think, a number of different reasons. It was definitely a little bit deeper. A self-composed song by IU, written about the late Seol Lee, who happened to be one of her good friends.
Yeah.
Haru good every end of day.
See?
Three syllables.
That's actually only tip of the iceberg. I went back and I remember looking through like a bunch of her songs, and it really was a strong superstition she had, because it was for a lot of songs. I guess this one, though, not so much. 나만 몰랐던 이야기.
Ah, all right. That one kind of got away.
Yeah.
I mean, she took a risk there.
I really liked that song, though, but it was sort of back to the gloomy, darker IU. The literal translation is the story that only I didn't know, but English title is Only I Didn't Know. But yes, that was a good one too.
All right. Should we fast forward a little bit?
Yes.
By the end of 2012, IU would go on to win big name awards like record of the year, main prize or 대상, song of the year for Good Day 좋은 날, female musician of the year. Billboard magazine also named IU as one of the hottest musicians under 21 years of age for her, quote, unique charm and undeniable hits that have made her into a bona fide superstar.
Oh.
To be bona fide anything.
I know. How do you become bona fide? Is there a crediting agency for this?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, shucks. Okay. Well, sticking with the three-syllable theme, here is IU's 너랑 나, you and I.
And 복숭아, peach.
A couple of tracks right there. We had 복숭아, peach, and that one was written for the late Sully. 너랑 나, you and I before that.
All right, guys. In case you didn't know, when IU was graduating from high school in 2012, there was a lot of conversation on whether or not she would go on to college to maybe pursue acting and study it in college. And this was a time when I think even most, like, you know, child actors turned adult actors were dabbling in the same kind of decisions.
Yeah.
And IU decided, no, college is for those who worked hard to get there. And she was very well aware of that special admission process or that was extended to most celebrities. And I think it was one thing for her to say, I'm not going to go to college, but for her to kind of openly address this issue and maybe even touch upon preferential treatment that's given to certain celebrities or any high-profile people for that matter. I thought it was really interesting and timely.
It was something very different, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And I remember when this first came out, I was like trying to think of it from both perspectives. Like as a parent, I wasn't a parent then, but as a parent, I would have assumed I would want my child's role models to go to college.
You know what I mean? That's fair, yeah.
So I was like, I could see the backlash in the sense where then a lot of other kids would be like, I want to be like a singer like IU, and I don't need to go to college.
Right, because IU didn't go to college.
But not everyone is at IU's level, you know what I mean?
You know, when I was growing up in Silicon Valley, the go-to was, I want to be the next Steve Jobs
and
drop out of college.
Yeah, see?
And the thing is, that's, sure, one in a billion.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so that's an important point because IU debuted young. She had a lot of young fan base.
Yeah.
And so you're right. The conversation went back and forth, but she didn't go to college.
I think she'd made the right decision, though.
For her, as a singer, I think.
And like you said, it did shed light on sort of that issue as well.
Yeah, like favoring, for example, certain celebrities. And the thing is, that's pretty universal. Celebrity having certain perks.
Absolutely.
All right. And then there was kind of, I guess, a scandal back then. Not so much anymore because IU is older. She's been around a little bit longer.
Yeah.
We assume that she's dated behind the scenes. But back then it was considered a big scandal because I don't think she intended to upload this picture. Remember in 2012, she posted a selfie taken with Eunhyuk of Super Junior by accident. She uploaded on her social media account. It was there from the wee night of 4 a.m. until 6 a.m. The rest is left to your imagination.
Oh, this is shocking, though.
Yeah.
Because they were like, the picture itself, it was clear they were very close.
Yeah,
you know?
Very friendly.
Yeah, so it could either be best friends from childhood
type of
close, or it could be
or
romantic.
A little bit lovey-dovey.
Yeah.
And again, the time.
Yeah. It's a little,
4 a.m.
I feel for her, though, because how many times have we done stupid things on social media?
And those are times when I'm thinking, I'm so happy I'm not a celebrity.
Yes.
My career, I just see it going down the drain.
Exactly.
It's tough being famous.
Well, anyway, we've kind of moved on now, and we've accepted she has a personal life.
And don't you think times have changed?
Yeah,
or we're
that too.
A little bit more accepting of celebrities dating? Or have I gotten older?
No, I agree. She was publicly dating Changgyeah for a while as well after this.
Oh, I forgot.
So. I thought that couple made a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah.
They've broken up, though.
As far as narratives go, I think we like that.
We did.
When celebrity relationships make sense to us.
In our heads.
Not them.
It's like, yes, we approve. Sure, go.
Singer,
go
songwriter.
Forth and prosper.
And you guys probably inspire each other. It made sense.
Totally.
All right, we're going to move on to October 2013. By then, IU had released her third studio album, Modern Times. I think just about every track on this album was successful. Title track, 분홍신, The Red Shoes. Mm-hmm. The song was sang by just about everyone of all ages. It's easy to follow along.
It was very theatrical.
I think this entire album was. A lot of her music videos had really Alice in Wonderland themes happening. The big clocks, the pink shoes.
It was really like dun 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 dun, spirit fingers, like, you know, like, woo!
I'm taken back to Bring It On.
Yeah.
All right, another massive hit that included in her repackaged album of Modern Times, Kamui de Mandaya Friday. You're right, it's just simply Friday.
Yeah.
Featuring Tang Yi Tsang. This is when she began, I think, her major transition as singer/slash songwriter.
Yeah, it's a little more acoustic-y from here on. Yeah,
acoustic-y. Mm-hmm. The song stayed on the top chart for 96 weeks straight.
I love this song.
Yeah, it's good.
It's a great, sort of not too difficult norebang song as well.
And as a radio DJ, it's the perfect Thursday song.
Yeah.
금요일에 만나요. See you on Friday.
There you go.
Anyway. All right. Here's the thing, guys. Back when 금요일에 만나요 Friday was topping the charts, the only reason it got kicked off the top of the charts eventually was because IU outdid IU with her next album, Cheshire.
Yeah, see, she really does like Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, that worked for her for a long time, I think. Kind of it's like fairy tale, dreamy concept. Mm. It's funny because she hated the marshmallow concept. And I think that's a little bit fairy tale-y too.
But Alice in Wonderland, it does have a little bit more of a quirkiness.
You're right. It's weird in a wonderful way.
Yeah.
And it's dark with just the right amount of fantasy.
Exactly.
Ha-ha.
Perfect for her. Well, Lena, we have reached the end of our journey with IU, which is funny because this is only like the tip of the iceberg still.
We ended in 2013.
I know, but we can't give her 3 weeks because, well, can we?
we'll think about it.
But I don't think we can. I don't know. Our producer and writer will be the judge of this. But
they
Lena, I was told that this is all as far as we go.
That's fine. The rest, look for it in the charts, guys. Good songs.
All right. Thanks so much, Lena. We will... Oh, man, it would have been so perfect if I saw you on Fridays.
I know, right?
금요일에 만나요.
Bye, everyone.
화요일에 만나요.
See you next Tuesday.
Let's end her out with IU's 분홍신, The Red Shoes, and then the one featuring Yang Yi-jung, 금요일에 만나요, Friday. And that's all we have for this edition of K-Pop Connection on KBS World Radio. Our producer is Sophia Hong. Our writer is Hanim Kim. My name is Angie Park. This has been K-Pop Connection. You may disconnect now.